Have your Bibles, open them up to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I want to look at just one verse to kick this thing off. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Hallelujah. And it says these words: keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, not the physical pump, for out of it spring the issues of life. Say the issues of life. Today I want to talk about a topic that really affects every person. There's not one person that can sit back and say, this isn't for me today, all right? This is a topic that needs to be discussed. It needs to be taught from pulpits, all right? Because your peace and joy in life depend on this thing. And I'm telling you right now, listen to me. These 10 pages, yes, 10 pages right here. I'm telling you, this is filled with wisdom today. And young people, listen to me. If you're a younger person, you need to pay very close attention to this as well. Because I wish I would have known some of these things when I was your age. It would have saved me a lot of heartache. It would have saved me a lot of pain in my life. Amen? I want to talk about setting healthy boundaries in relationships and the negative effects that can happen in your life if you don't set healthy boundaries in relationships. Now, I'm not just talking about a husband and wife here. I'm talking about all your relationships. I'm talking about friendships. I'm talking about relationships on the job. Say every relationship. This must be taught and talked about because, again, let me say it one more time, the quality of your life depends on maintaining healthy relationships in your life. So living your life without boundaries in relationships, I don't know if you found this out yet, but they will drain you. They will drain you. It will cause you to experience many negative emotions and fruit in your life. It's time to get rid of all the toxic junk in our life. Amen? And that includes toxic relationships. Now, let me just say this. Some just need in relationships some adjustments, right? And there's some relationships you need to just let go of. Amen? And move on. But setting healthy boundaries in your life is a very important part of establishing your identity in life. And it's extremely important in maintaining spiritual and mental health and general well-being. Anybody want a couch to lie on this morning while I'm talking about this? Listen, you go to a shrink, listen to me. You're going to pay lots of money to hear this stuff. So you're getting it for free. So listen up. Amen? Listen to this. One definition of the word boundaries that I saw was excellent. It says this. It said, boundaries are a chosen set of behaviors that you will or will not accept from others. Oh, young people, please listen to me. Boundaries are a chosen set of behaviors that you will or will not accept from others in your life. See, Jesus dealt with boundary intruders all the time in his earthly ministry. Say boundary intruders. People always had an opinion in requirements of what Jesus should or should not be doing, what he should or should not be saying, or what he should be doing, where he should be going all the time. Did he not? Jesus dealt a lot with that. Now, here's the deal. Now, I'm not being heartless about those who need real ministry, because we know that even with some of those boundary breakers, Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to go. Amen? So I'm not being heartless about this, but I'm talking about setting healthy boundaries. Amen? Listen, it was the religious people that was really on his case. But even people with pure motives that have real needs, they can steal your peace, they can steal your joy, as well as put a negative burden on you. Have you figured that out yet, people? Even Jesus and his disciples needed to get away to a secluded place once in a while to get away from that, to get away and just refresh. Amen? So we've all experienced boundary intruders in our life. Anybody here that hasn't? Okay, good. So I guess I'm talking to the right people then, right? Go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Say boundary intruders. You got to learn how to deal and make healthy boundaries in your life. All right? Matthew 23, 1 through 4. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to the disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe to do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers.'" Jesus was saying this. He was saying the scribes and the Pharisees were putting all these burdens on the people that they were not willing to take responsibility for themselves. All right? Now, this is describing a boundary intruder. Here, ready for this? They violate healthy boundaries from you that they would never tolerate you doing to them. Oh, come on, somebody. I got a name for that. You want to know what that name is? Narcissist. Say narcissist. Narcissist. Oh, we're going to dig deep here. A narcissist is a person that has excessive interest or admiration in oneself. Narcissism, listen to this, is selfishness involving a sense of entitlement and a lack of empathy for others. It's all about them. There's a lack of care and concern for others. Now, the word empathy, say empathy. The word, you ever heard, oh, I'm an empath. You ever heard of that? This is what, listen to this. Empathy means to put yourselves in other people's shoes. It is the ability and willingness to sense other people's emotions, coupled with the ability to imagine what someone else might be thinking or feeling in their own life. A narcissist doesn't have that. It's all about them. I don't care what anybody else is going through. It means this. It means to put, empathy means to put value on another person's life and emotional state. See, an empath, or a narcissist, when they see a weakness in a person, they go right at it. Anybody ever deal with narcissists in their life? Right? When they see that weakness, I mean, they go at it like a lion, like a tiger, right? See, again, in their mind, the narcissist, it's all about them, and they want to control your life around what they want to do. There's no give and take. It's all take. Are you getting it? Oh, it's getting quiet in here. I know I'm preaching to somebody here. So, listen to this. How can you tell when someone has invaded your space, someone's invaded your healthy boundaries or comfort zone within a relationship? Young people, listen to me. Are you ready? I'm telling you right now, it will save you from a divorce. Amen. Come on. It will save you from emotional and maybe physical abuse. Amen. Hello? Yes. Pastor's just trying to help you this morning. Here we go. First of all, there will be a level of discomfort in the relationship. Say discomfort. You start to feel a lack of peace. You feel stressed out. You feel anxious. You feel fearful. And maybe a negative, guilty feeling around that person. You could say it this way. You feel emotionally drained every time you're around this person. I know this one individual we minister to. She had a friend, and every time she was around this friend, she was just drained. This person said she would go home feeling drained. And I'm like, that's not a friend. That's not healthy. Something's not right here. Are you getting it? Listen to this. So there's a level of discomfort in the relationship, any relationship. They're forcing their way into your life, and they're always putting a guilt trip on you to control you. And that, my friend, is called witchcraft. When there is no peace, when there's no joy, and there is control going on, there is no healthy relationship or friendship happening right there. Is this making anyone think this morning so far? And I'm only on page 2 of 10 right now. That relationship is a train wreck, and it's going to open the door to demons and the kingdom of darkness in your life. Secondly, how do you know when boundaries are being crossed? Secondly, you feel disadvantaged. Say disadvantaged. You will feel taken advantage of, underappreciated, and very manipulated in the relationship. You find that you are constantly doing what you don't want to do. Well, that's not a relationship. That's slavery. Are you getting it? You always feel you're doing things you don't want to do. Nobody should ever feel that way in a relationship. That is toxic. Say toxic. Thirdly, you feel disempowered. Say disempowered. That means you feel pressured and unable to say no without suffering negative consequences or somehow being punished by that person for saying no. Man, I'm telling you, this is so good this morning. I'm ministering to myself right here. About ready to come to this altar and get on my knees right now. Listen, again, it's a non-reciprocal relationship. There's no give and take. A real relationship has give and take. Say give and take. Give and take. Last of all, the relationship feels very disproportionate. Say disproportionate. And it kind of goes along with the last one. But you feel enslaved, listen to me, to their happiness while forsaking your own happiness. It's a one-sided relationship. You are made to feel inferior while they make you feel that they're superior to them. Again, that's not a healthy relationship. Amen? Boundary invaders have learned to get their way by control and violating healthy boundaries in a relationship. All right? They want you to feel, here's another spiritual bomb I'm going to drop on you. Get ready. They want you to feel codependent on them. Say codependent. In other words, they want you to feel like you're not going to make it in life without them in your life, and that you're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to go anywhere in your life without them calling the shots for you. You must learn how to set proper and healthy boundaries in your life that will protect your peace and joy. All right? So remember this. Listen to this. You will attract what you put out emotionally. You will always attract what you put out emotionally. In other words, many people, Christians, yay, Christians, are attracting boundary invaders into their life because they have a broken soul. They have a broken mind, will, and emotions from the past. And they have, many times, people that draw these people in, these people have been abused in the past. And it feels like these people that draw these boundary invaders into their life, it feels like there's a target, like a big red X that's painted on your back, and that's all you draw into your life. Am I talking to anyone today? Like, why does this always happen to me? And you'll see it quite often with people who've gotten a divorce, too, right? They went through a bad situation, and they're like, woohoo, I get another go around here. Then it happens again. They divorce. Then it happens again. Then it's like a cycle. That cycle needs to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? See, so, but that can change today. That can change today. You have the authority. You have the power to remove anyone out of your life. You have the power and authority who you give access to in your life. Amen? That toxic cycle needs to stop right now, today. You need to start taking control of your life right now. Amen? I'm telling you, the only reason I'm preaching is because I care about you guys. Amen? Now, what do boundaries look like in a relationship? A couple examples here, and I'm going to mention some of these later on too, but quickly. personal space. All right, if you don't want to be touched, whatever, or whatever it is, that shouldn't be happening without your consent. Well, premarital sex, by the way, should not be happening anyways that way, okay? So, are you getting it? All right, listen to me. Now, nobody should ever be forcing themselves on you physically, all right, in any way. If someone is forcing themselves upon you and violating your personal space without your consent, you need to either speak up or you need to cut them out of your life, right? They need to respect how you feel, right? You need to stop allowing people to take advantage of you in every area of your life, all right? So you need to determine by your free will, listen to this, how much of your personal life is available to each person in your life, right? There's a lot of people in our life, right? And there's some that we share a lot with, there's some we share some with, there's some we don't share any with, right? I mean, that's just how it goes with anybody in life, right? All right? So listen to this. You are under no obligation to say yes to everything in your life. Amen. When people come and ask you to do something or whatever, you are under no obligation to say yes. Sometimes the most liberating thing you can say to someone, are you ready? Is no. No. Say it with me. Let's practice it. Say no. Doesn't that feel wonderful? Oh, it's so amazing, isn't it? Freedom's in the house. No! Right? If the other person is upset with your no, it's not your problem, it's their problem. You're nobody's robot, you're nobody's slave, you were born free with God-given rights. Amen? So stop trying to please everyone. This will cause burnout in your life. Say burnout. You must understand and communicate to others what you want and what you need in life. Be specific, your spouse, and whatever, your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you need to communicate with them what your love language is. You wouldn't believe that, how many people, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm just so unfulfilled in my marriage and relationship, blah, 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 and we're like, well, what's your love language? And they say it, say, did you talk to your spouse about it? They're like, well, no. Right? Doesn't make, you should be communicating with your spouse. And if you're not, your spouse should be the one you should be communicating the most with. Amen. Right? I see it all the time. Older people, they're communicating more with adults, more with their spouse. What's up with that? Your spouse should be your best friend. Your spouse should be the one that you feel vulnerable and open to communicate with, right? Are you getting it? If your love language isn't being met in a relationship, there needs to be a serious conversation and expectation set on both sides. Amen? All right? And that can go with friendships too. Amen? Another boundary that needs to be set with people is that people need to respect your time commitments. Say time. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later, but if someone is constantly violating and taking up your time with no regard to you, hello, that's a red flag. You know what? You know what I like? Some of the best friends I ever had in life, and Marianne too, are the ones who you can go a week, you can go 2 weeks, you can go a month, and they're not offended. They're not offended. It's like when you talk, it's like you just picked up right where you left off, and it's wonderful. You're having a great old time, and it's like but they didn't get offended. Oh, I love that, all right? Mike's good with that. He'll call me, and he's like, hey, you just call me when you have time. I might call him back in a day or two. Hey, how's it? Just like nothing ever. He's not offended. Right? I love it. We have great conversations. I love it. I love it. But, so time. Say time. But again, if someone is constantly violating, taking up your time with no regard to you, that is a red flag, all right? That even goes for ministry, all right? Every person here, let me just say it this way. This is not a disrespect to anybody, but are you ready? I'm going to just drop some truth about ministry. Every situation in ministry is not an emergency. Are you following me? That doesn't mean I don't respect or no. But every person will make you think that their situation is an emergency. But it's not. I'll be honest, in ministry, there's very few emergencies. Are you following me? Not everything is an emergency. And I appreciate everyone being patient as we're working down the list of the deliverance ministry. But because, you know, an example is the deliverance sessions. There's a lengthy list that we're working through. And when, you know, a lot of times when someone comes to us, it's like, oh, it's an emergency, it's an emergency. Well, we put them on the list. We're working our way down. But, you know, a lot of times I say, look, you've had this for 40, 50, 60 years. I think another week, two is probably not going to hurt you. Can you hang in there? Can you hang in there? Hold on to the rope. We'll get to you. Are you getting it? That don't mean I don't care about you. That doesn't mean I don't want to see you free, but we're going to get there. See, if a minister treated every situation in ministry as an emergency, you'd burn out. You'll absolutely burn out. You would not have any life. Amen? All right, so you just got to know that if you're in ministry, if you're going to be in ministry, all right, you got to use discernment, because some things need constant or need attention right away. Some things don't, right? That's called wisdom, by the way. Amen. All right, so there must be healthy boundaries set in your personal life and in ministry. All right, now if someone makes you feel uncomfortable, you must let them know. And you need to remove yourself from the situation, but you got to communicate that to someone, right? Don't expect them to get a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit about you, right? I mean, say communication. Now, listen to this. I want to share with you 5 ways to set healthy boundaries in your life and relationships. 5. Get ready. Now, this is a message that you're going to probably want to go back and listen to maybe once every few months, right? This is one that you need to kind of remind yourself on, right? All these things. First of all, you must believe that, number one, you deserve healthy boundaries in your life. You got to believe that you deserve healthy boundaries in your life. Boundary invaders can spot an easy target and control someone and manipulate them very easily, like I said. They can tell when someone can be used and abused and taken advantage of. You got to look out for these people. Amen? This is what a boundary intruder can spot over a mile away. Are you ready for this? This is really what it comes down to. They can spot a person, number one, that doesn't love themselves, and they have an identity crisis going on in their life. All right? Here's the deal. You must love, respect, and value yourself enough to set and enforce healthy boundaries in your life. Amen? Now, that's not an arrogant statement, because in Matthew 22:39, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus expects you to love yourself. Are you getting it? So, in other words, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, consider other people's value just like your own. Amen? So, God desires his people to have godly and fulfilling relationships in their life that will be a blessing and benefit, not a negative experience or a bondage in your life. If something's bringing bondage into your life, you know God's not involved with that. He's either not involved, either he didn't bring that person into your life, or you're not bringing God into that relationship. Hello, somebody. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's a freedom. There's a freshness. There's a feeling where there's no chains on it. Are you getting it? So ask yourself this question. If you treated other people the way that you treat yourself, would they be more likely to love you or lose you? Do you respect yourself enough? Do you love yourself enough? I mean, think about this now. So we're always talking about loving other people, which is totally important. Now I'm asking you, do you even love yourself? Do you value yourself enough to say, I'm not going to put up with this bondage anymore in my life? Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. It's getting mighty quiet. But I'm taking that as you're thinking about it. And that's my job. I'm just bringing you some water. Just bringing you some water. If you want to drink from it, it's up to you. Amen? Galatians 5:1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast in that liberty. You know what? That includes all the relationships in your life as well. Now, what are some of the signs that you don't love yourself properly? Man, we're just going down the list here. I could turn this into a weekend seminar right here. You ready for this? Listen to this. What are some of the signs that you don't love yourself properly? You say something like this: "I need to be in a relationship. I need that person in my life." No, wrong. You need God in your life. You need God at the center of your life. And then focus on Him and let Him bring the right relationships in your life. Amen. Let Him give you discernment. Come on, somebody. Amen? You might say something like this: "At least this relationship isn't as bad as the last one." YOLO. You only live once. What are you doing wasting your precious time? See, you are compromising and lowering your standards. You know what? Well, I know what that's called? Settling. Settling is absolutely evil. Or how about this? People will say this: "It just needs a little more time." Five years isn't enough. 10 years, 200 prophetic words later. I mean, you kind of picking up what I'm laying down here? Oh, listen to this. How about this? How about making this excuse for someone? They're not always this way. We're having fun with this now, aren't we? Listen to this. You are constantly accepting and covering a person's wrong behavior. Always making excuses. What a horrible way to live. See, the common thread in all of these statements is that all of these things are excuses for not loving, respecting, and valuing yourself and your own life to deal with the toxicity in your life and in relationships. Now listen to this truth. Ready for this? We talked about boundary invaders, but the biggest boundary violator is maybe not necessarily that person. It might be you. Because you are the ones that have the authority and the power to do something about it. You have the authority and power to step in and not give access and not... Are you following me? To say, "I'm not going to put up with this anymore." All right? See, we got to have godly relationships. Amen? Stop allowing them to negatively affect your life. All right? Now, so here's what's going on. That's why you are feeling this uneasiness and negative emotions, because you know what you want, but you are allowing your standards to be compromised by your own free will, and because of that, you are a miserable human being right now. And nobody wants to be around you. Now, maybe I went a little too far, but hey, someone probably feels that way. Yeah, you know me. You know me. I'm always getting the spiritual smelling salts for people, slapping them a little bit, you know, right? That's me. Sometimes we need that smelling salt, right? So you must come to the point where you know that you deserve better and have the right to have healthy boundaries in your life. You have the right to have peace and joy. That's the will of God for you, amen? Now, spouses, don't run out and get a divorce right now. Get some help. Are you following? No, hey, you laugh, but some people will use that and say, "Pastor James said I could just run and get a divorce." No, I didn't. You get some help. Get some counseling. Do something. Amen. Now, here we go. The next way to set healthy boundaries in your life Listen to this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this is so good. So good. Listen to me. The next way to set healthy boundaries in your life is to learn to love people without always having to rescue them. Amen. Oh, my, my, my. Young people, listen. Amen. Come on, tap someone, shove someone next to you, say, listen to this. There you go. Learn to love people without always having to rescue them. All right, listen to this. If you are bent toward compassion and mercy in your life, you know those people who are really bent toward it, your first response is to always make excuses for that person and to rescue them. And the danger of that is you're creating a codependent relationship. Are you getting it? Listen to this. You must come to the point of allowing people to deal with the consequences of their own choices, or else they will never learn from their mistakes. Oh, come on, somebody. They will keep making the same mistakes, and you will just enable that by rescuing them over and over again. Come on, somebody. Let me just set someone free in here tonight, today, this morning. Listen, you are not meant to be everyone's savior or hero. Amen. You are not meant to be everyone's savior or hero. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He said, some of the most successful people in life have the testimony of facing consequences for their wrong actions, and they learned valuable life lessons from it, and it motivated them to make the needed changes. Listen to me. The only side note that I need to put to this, the only caveat, side note that I need to tell you is this, all right? Now, don't use this as an excuse, but listen to me. Some people do need rescuing, and they will learn from it and change. But as a general rule, don't be so quick to bail someone out who has a pattern. Say pattern. A pattern of terrible choices. You need to pray about it. Amen? Because there's some people, when you do step in, it's going to make a huge difference. It's going to shift their life. But I'm going to say it this way. The majority, say majority, that always get bailed out, it's going to be a constant negative cycle. Guess what? The dog will return to its own vomit, as the Word of God says. Go to Proverbs 19:19. Proverbs 19:19. Oh, hallelujah. Setting healthy boundaries in relationships. All your relationships, right? You know, even with your dog, even with your pet. Come on, somebody. Don't put them above your spouse. Come on, right? Proverbs 19:19. It says, a man of great wrath or anger will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. In other words, you're not helping that person get delivered. You're enabling them. There needs to be a healing on the inside of them to put a stop to that negative cycle. Don't waste your time rescuing that person. Allow the person to really hit rock bottom in their life. And we talked about who the rock is. Jesus. When everyone they thought they could count on to bail them out. Right? Like Hunter Biden. Come on, somebody. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach and train them through it. Sometimes you just got to back off and let the Holy Ghost work. Amen? Here's a recipe. Let's talk a little bit more about codependency, because this is a huge one. Here's a recipe for codependency in a relationship. You do whatever necessary to avoid conflict. In fact, you're controlled by them, right? Next, always provide assistance when they make poor choices. You feel responsible for that person's well-being. You make excuses for that person's bad choices and behavior, like we talked about. You put their needs ahead of yours in an unhealthy way. All right? Now, Galatians 5:6 says something very interesting. It says, "For each one shall bear his own load." And then there's another verse that says, well, we should carry each other's burdens. Are you following me? It almost seems like it's contradicting each other, doesn't it? But this is what the Holy Ghost said. No, he said you carry each other's loads as far as an emotional. You pray for them. Are you following me? This one in Galatians 5:6, where it says each one or each person should bear their own load, this is saying that we are accountable and responsible for our own actions and choices in life. It means there's going to be consequences for every action you make. That's where you're carrying your own weight. Say consequences. Nobody else is responsible for your life. Are you following me? Nobody else is responsible for the quality of your life except for you. Personally. Amen? Now, creating healthy boundaries for people is a way of helping them grow and mature. Say, grow and mature. Grow and mature. Don't always step in for them. Are you following me? Let them grow. Let them mature. Every good and effective parent knows this. Look at Proverbs 19:18. Look at this. Same chapter, Proverbs 19. Just go up one. It says, chasten your son while there is hope. So in other words, there's a point in your child's life, obviously, that you don't have that influence that you once had when they were younger. Did you catch that? It said, while there is still hope. Once they're past that point, now you're at the mercy of the Holy Ghost and praying for them and just hoping they turn. Hello, somebody. Are you getting it? But obviously, there is a point here while there's still hope. That's powerful. Now, chasten means not abuse. Hello, somebody. It simply means to correct and discipline. All right? In other words, set boundaries for them. And if those boundaries are crossed, there needs to be some kind of a consequence. That's all. Are you getting it? So, parents, if you're constantly bailing out your children from poor choices and mistakes, listen to me. You will be doing it for the rest of your life. All right? I know it can be hard. It can be hard watching your kids go through things. Hello, amen? How do you think God feels when he watches us? Amen? But make sure lessons are learned while raising them to be a respectable adult. Amen? We must learn to love people. Don't ever, if you get anything out of this, get this. We must learn to love people without always rescuing them. Sometimes tough love is needed. Sometimes the best love is allowing them to learn a life lesson. Now, the next way to set healthy boundaries in your life, all right, is to care enough to confront the boundary invasions. You got to care enough, all right? Ephesians 4:15 tells us to speak the truth in love. All right, right? So there is no growth, there is no change, there's no positive growth without truth being spoken. And sometimes that has to happen with an uncomfortable confrontation. Confrontation's horrible, isn't it? I mean, it's very, even as a pastor, it's very uncomfortable. I mean, if anyone really takes joy in it, there's something a little off there probably. Okay, maybe you need a little emotional healing from something, right? But a confrontation is needed. You will not grow spiritually in your life without having people love you enough to speak truth to you. All right? So if someone is going to speak to you, listen to what they have to say. I'll talk about that more in a moment. If you don't confront the person about the boundary invasions in your life early in the relationship, it will grow more toxic. It will start to spread like fungus. Say fungus. Fungus. Kind of a fun word, right? Fungus. Listen, fun. It's a fun guy to be with. Yeah, I know. I know that one. Now, listen, here's what happens is this. You will bottle up your negative emotions, and eventually it will lead to blowing up emotionally. Anybody ever done that in here? You let things slide and relate. You let it slide. You're not talking to the other spouse, and all of a sudden, it's like Mount Vesuvius, baby. I mean, that thing you just blow like a volcano. And then they're like, where did this come from? I thought everything was fine. Communicate. Amen. Communicate with each other. Amen. Have those uncomfortable uncomfortable communications with each other. Now, look at Ephesians 4:25 real quick. Ephesians 4:25. I'm working my way down. You getting anything out of this today? Now, Ephesians 4:25, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So speaking truth, it will start to change the direction of a toxic relationship. Two things will happen. Number one, there will be healthy change. Number two, the narcissist will say, I'm out of here. I can't control them anymore. Young people, listen to me. Are you out there? Hello, hello. Yes, are you young? Oh, never mind. Chris stood up. You got to listen to this. If there's no change happening after healthy communication, you need to really step back and take a look at what's going on in your life. Now, here are some keys to profitable and productive conversation. For those of you that you feel like you're a horrible communicator, right? Listen to this. Here's some things you can do to make it a good conversation. Profitable. Number one, stick to the facts. Don't bring something up that you know that's going to irritate that has nothing to do with the conversation. You get... Yeah, well, you never clean the house. Well, we're not talking about that right now. Right? Listen, stick to the facts in the conversation with the person. Watch your words and body language carefully. Because, listen, some of the nonverbal communication is worse than the spoken communication. Right? Like, don't sit down with someone or don't start to talk to someone, you know. Right? That speaks louder than words. Be humble. Talk. Don't just stir up contention. You want a resolution to this thing, don't you? Right? All right. Now, here's another one. When people become furious, become curious. I thought it was catchy. Listen. Okay, when people become furious in a relationship, when there's something they blow up, that Mount Vesuvius, that volcano erupts, become curious. There's something, find out what the main reason is. Let's go to the heart of the issue of why that anger is there. Are you getting it? All right, seek out clarity and understanding. Look for ways, when you're in this conversation, don't just pinpoint that other person. Look for ways that you yourself have fallen short. Are you following me? Oh, humility goes a long way in a conversation, doesn't it? Look for ways you can change yourself. Like, what can I learn from myself? What have I been doing that maybe hasn't been all that great either? So again, stay humble in the conversation, right? Now, here's another one. The next way to set healthy boundaries in your life is to protect yourself. Say, I got to protect myself, which kind of goes along with the whole thing, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Proverbs 4:23, which we read in the beginning, it tells us to guard our heart above all else, for out of it, out of the heart, flow the issues of life. Now, when we talk about the heart, I'm talking about your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. That's what I'm talking about. Every part of your soul, all three parts, mind, will, and emotions, the quality of those parts of your soul will determine the quality of life that you live on this earth. And that's why the Word of God warns us to guard or protect your heart. If you're having a hard time in life right now, if there's a lot of bad things happening right now, check your heart. What doors have I opened? Are you getting it? See, you are responsible. God tells us to guard our heart. So you are responsible to guard your own heart, right? Not God. You are the responsible party there. Now, how do we specifically guard our heart? I want to, real quick, as I end this message here, I want to give you five ways how to guard or protect your heart. Number one, emotional boundaries. There's got to be emotional boundaries. Determine who is and who is not allowed access to your feelings, right? Determine how much of your personal life is available to someone, as I mentioned earlier. And here's one. Listen to this. Take responsibility for your own feelings. For example, when you say to someone, "You make me so angry," what it really means is this. I'm allowing you to control my emotions. Are you getting it? We are responsible for our own emotional responses in life, all right? Again, you're not a robot, you're not a slave. How you react, it's up to you, right? Sure, something might rub you the wrong way, but slow down. Don't react so quick. Just, are you getting it? Remember, nobody is forcing you to stay in that situation. You can get out. You're not sitting in a prison. Amen? Next, conversational boundaries. Be respectful of people's perspective and the reason they feel the way they do about something, right? Be respectful to them, all right? Treat people's ideas and opinions with dignity and be respectful, unless they're a Democrat or a liberal. And something's just totally against the word. And go ahead, put the bulldog mask on. But do it in love. Okay. Now, the next one is physical boundaries. There needs to be personal space. What about the whole physical contact thing I talked about? Recognize that you may have been raised in a specific set of cultural norms different from other people, right? Be respectful when you're expressing an uncomfortable situation. I came from a family of huggers. Some people, they didn't. So it's totally weird to them when Pastor James wraps his arms around them. Oh, it's like coming in slow motion. Oh! No! You know? Almost like now you got to like spray them down or something, you know? But some people just weren't raised in that environment. So, you know, just kind of be sensitive. Listen, if you don't like my hugs, just tell me. I'll thank you. I'll be a little hurt for a minute, but it passes. No, I would not be hurt, right? But try one. Sometimes it breaks down the emotional walls anyways, right? So be open to that. Now, the next one is relational boundaries, all right? Whether you know it or not, there is an unwritten code of expectations that we all bring into a relationship, right? All right? We all have expectations. Again, communicate clearly what you expect from them and what, you know, they need to communicate what they expect from you. The key to relational boundaries is very simple. It's trust and communication. That's it. Trust and communication. If you don't have one of those, you need both. If you don't have one of those, forget it. Relational boundaries are broken. There's no relational boundaries. Amen? Don't ever forget this. People will always violate what you fail to communicate. It's just human nature. Let me say it one more time. Don't ever forget, people will always violate what you fail to communicate. And then you get mad at them and they're like, again, what, honey? What did I do? Right? Next, the time boundary. I'm talking about guarding your heart. Time boundaries. Time is the number one boundary that we allow most people to violate in our life. You agree with that? It's a big one, isn't it? Time is your most limited and valuable asset in life. Using your time should be as critical as how you spend your money. Both are limited and both are valuable. Amen? You have 168 hours a week. And you, say me, you get to decide how you spend those 168 hours in a week. Those hours belong to you. Are you getting it? You must get comfortable again with saying no with your time. 168. Say 168. Keep that right there. Many people struggle with a no because it invokes a negative response from the other person. But that's okay. It's your precious time. Just like your money belongs to you. You cannot get back lost time. So use it wisely. Saying no says this: I am in control of my life. I'm in control of my calendar. It reveals your priorities and values in life, right? Well, I didn't go because blah, blah. Well, if something's important to you, you're gonna show up. Hello, somebody. Actions can speak louder than words many times. Amen? I am the only one that will give an account of my own life. This is what saying no means. I am responsible for my own happiness. I'm responsible for my own spiritual and mental health. Amen? I realize and accept my limitations. I can't do everything, and I cannot make everyone happy in my life. Oh, this is setting someone free. Or in connection to that codependency, I care too much about your growth to short-circuit your growth. Are you following me? When you tell someone who's codependent on you, when you tell someone who's codependent on you a no, I'm not going to do that, it's you saying, I care too much about your growth and your development to short-circuit it by always bailing you out. Amen? And it's when you say no to someone, it's also saying, I love, value, and respect myself enough not to be used, manipulated, or taken advantage of. And the last point of setting healthy boundaries in your life is to do all these four points over and over again. See, boundary invaders need to be kept in check over and over. Don't be cheated out of peace. Don't be cheated out of joy in your life. Be alert in your life. Really take inventory of your life. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good or making the right decisions for our life. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Or in other words, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, or we shall reap if we continue to guard our heart. Amen? So church, let's make sure that we are having and maintaining healthy and godly relationships in our life that will manifest love, peace, and joy. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, prayer team, come up. Father, I pray that this word that was spoken, I pray every person in this building, every person that heard this message, every person who listened to it online or who will in the days and the years and months to come, Lord, I pray it would be engrafted into their heart, that you would show them, minister to them, any area of their life that they're compromising, they're settling where they shouldn't be. Holy Spirit, minister to them. Give them the strength and the boldness and the courage to confront and deal with those things. Now, maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Listen to me. Don't leave this place without making Jesus Lord of your life. When you take your last breath, it's game over, done. Your eternal destination is sealed. And I want to see you in heaven one day. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe even beyond that, this message really pricked your heart. It really touched deep, something deep on the inside of your heart. And you said, you know what? I have allowed unhealthy boundaries in relationships in my life, and I need prayer for that. If that's you, I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer partners today. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you want to learn more about that, come on down. They'll pray with you, talk to you about that awesome experience that will change your life. If you need prayer for healing, physical, emotional, family member, anything else, they'll stay as long as they can to pray and minister to you. So, all right, take inventory of all the relationships, and it's time to get healthy. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll be in the back shaking some hands here. God bless you all. Have a great week.